Okay then, good morning everyone. Very, very warm welcome to today's pre-market trade plan live session, which is our opportunity to be as prepared as we can for today's trading opportunities. Now, with the current indecisive backdrop, there's really quite challenging market conditions, and it's quite interesting to see the fallout from the French election, which the far-right Marine Le Pen's party won outright. With something to the tune of 34% of the vote, which is a quite significant progress, really, for that far right party. Now the wheels seem to be mitigating or limiting, I suppose, the power of the of a potential far right victory in the election, and markets are reacting in quite a kind of confused manner, and just looking at the price action in the euro is quite a good indication. Now, ultimately, our bias is for European and euro weakness. In addition, we've heard from Powell yesterday as well. We had some job openings numbers which actually came in above expectations. We're expecting to get lower numbers through. We actually saw higher numbers through. So there is a few things, and certainly on the fundamental side of these markets, there's a few, let's say, contradicting news headlines, which unfortunately for us it's not making things any clearer. And it's been like that for a week or two now. So let's go through it in a bit more detail. We'll show you the consolidation. We'll try to explain the indecision with the numbers and some of the data points. And no real clarity really from Jerome Powell yesterday in terms of indications regarding cutting. This is a quick introduction then. All profitable traders need to consider, of course, which markets to trade. Once you've decided which markets to trade, where do we want to enter and exit those markets? Like the DAX is a really good example. We had a level yesterday where prices broke below. And now, so you've often got the breakout trade around the 18,250 level, and prices rallied lower quite aggressively. Now we're still in a pretty tight range for that market, and price has pulled back into currently support. So you do often get multiple opportunities to get into a particular trade. The clarity behind the trade now is really quite muddled, so it makes it a little bit more difficult now at this stage. We also need to consider how to manage risk. Each trade we get into, we're taking really, I suppose, we're reducing our risk as much as we possibly can when we trade at the moment, because of the overall market conditions are just so messy. And we're very close to all-time highs again for the S&P 500. So trade management as well is an important feature, which we haven't been able to do recently over the last few weeks. And trade psychology. So we clearly have a bit of fear and anxiety in these markets. There's that buy-only mentality seems to be alive and well. Apart from that, there's lots of contradicting data. Now, we're strong advocates of being consistent in our approach, of course, and trying to be as accurate as possibly can, disciplined with our capital, and be patient. And those things always win out over time. We're just experiencing, I suppose, market conditions which are not that great for us, and the style and the way that we trade these financial markets. So let's start with a review of potential market moving news then. Good morning, everyone. Good to have you with us. We're still broadcasting for France at the minute, so we will be back to normal next week. Okay, so a quick look back at yesterday's news event. So we had European flash, core CPI flash inflation numbers coming in slightly higher than expected, with headline CPI numbers coming in bang on expectations. So no real improvement on the core inflation number. Very, very mild improvement, 10 basis points lower for the headline. So it just kind of proves that we're kind of making a little progress, but it's really negligible. It's not that much. So we've also had Christine Lagarde and Jerome Powell in here. And I suppose the most interesting thing from Powell was, I mean, he hasn't really changed any particular angle by saying, you know, we're still waiting for conditions to improve, for them to be a little bit more confident that inflation is going to stay lower. But their expectations are now that they should be seeing between 2.5% and 2% inflation in a year's time, which would allow the Fed to make those decisions to start cutting rates. Now, there's the complication of the election, which will which may impede the Fed from actually making those decisions to start cutting, because they want to at least look to the outside as if they are independent in the decision making. So yeah, Jerome Powell really hasn't shifted his opinion. Really, he was really dovish last year, and for the early part of this year as well, he adopted quite a dovish that will be looking to cut rates, and now it's a little bit more, let's just wait and see, let's just get that confidence that we're looking for, that inflation will stay low. Of course, any little panic, any kind of meltdown in the energy markets will change that narrative pretty significantly. And the other slightly confusing number was the JOLTS job openings. So we're expecting, I suppose, at the very least, the number of job openings in the US to actually come in at least equally as low as the previous number coming through. And actually, we got a little bit of a bounce. So a few more jobs available than what was anticipated. We're at the lower end. We're still, I suppose, close to one and a half jobs available for every unemployed person in the US. So we still have a very strong jobs market. However, there is this shifting expectations that these numbers will start to weaken. And that's where today's ADP numbers might come in and the unemployment claims. So if we're still up at 2, 3, 4 and we have ADP softening, we'll see if it softens more than last month's numbers. And the unemployment claims numbers are weekly, of course. So if we're consistently around 235, it's kind of a higher unemployment claims number than the 215 and 220 that we were seeing for quite some time. So today is also important for services, PMI numbers. The services side of things are performing relatively well and are still expanding. Above 50 represents expansion. And not to be forgotten, crude oil inventories, in terms of there's a potential for a bit of a rollover in crude oil. So we'll explain what that means in just a second. And as if today wasn't busy enough, we're going to finish with FOMC meeting minutes. So it's going to be interesting to see whether we get a significant move one way or the other in these markets. Don't forget, tomorrow is the UK election. It's a bank holiday, of course, in the US. And then we'll have non-farm payroll on Friday afternoon. Okay. So, broadly speaking, a little bit of a mixed bag. When you want to get confirmation that something like, you know, the job opening numbers are actually continuing to lower quite considerably. That kind of feeds into that job weakness number. When it comes in significantly higher than expected, it kind of puts the brakes on just a little bit. And as a result, price action is kind of moving in line accordingly. Just to show you where we are with these bond yields. So the 2-year treasury note is in a bit of a significant sideways pattern, I suppose is all you can really call it. And we've been like that now since for the last 3 weeks, pretty much. Potential upside bias, but no real movement whatsoever on the 2-year. The 10-year is slightly different. We've seen a bit of an elevated rally. And we were around 4.2. Now we're up at 4.43. So we're not seeing much reaction, and this is where the disconnects come in. We're not seeing much negative reaction in the S&P and the US indices to any great extent. Yesterday we were talking about, will this market break below the 54.42, because that's where the support sits. And yesterday we came right down to that level and bounced off it almost precisely. So this is a bit of a kind of a messy market for a number of reasons. So the US indices seem to be just buy only. That's the only trade to consider. And that decision involves buying very expensive markets at all-time highs, which is something we don't ordinarily like to do. The consolidation in some of these markets is really, really quite significant. I'm just going to do a snapshot of these are some of the most liquid markets in the world. And what's going on in the euro is really quite interesting. We've been in this little sideways pattern for quite a while. We've had a few rejections to the upside. So one major rejection from the upside. And we've had this strange dynamic where on Friday we gapped higher. And prices rallied very aggressively and then rolled back over. Yesterday, we gapped lower and prices came down, closed the gap, and then rallied. And now today we've gapped a little bit lower. We've looked like we were running higher. And we're now seeing perhaps maybe this downward movement might be something worth looking at. The problem is we're making decisions inside consolidation, which is something that we don't really like to do. And overall, the price action is just so choppy and so messy. There's a distinct kind of lack of clarity. And most of this rally occurred off the back of the JOLTS job numbers, where we start to see a bit of a risk-on market dynamic. Again, that doesn't necessarily feed into what our expectations would have been. It would have actually been stronger jobs number than what was expected. That's, I suppose, bad news for Fed decision-making, but then Jerome Powell came online and started to say that their expectation for inflation a year from now is likely to be just above 2%. So there's huge confidence that that's the case. Elsewhere, we've got the New Zealand dollar. We did like this to the downside yesterday. We've got this little sort of mini consolidation as well around strong support. So the bias is very much lower. And you can see the amount of consolidation, which is in many of these significantly volatile markets. So we're in this kind of uptrend. We've had false breakouts to the upside, false breakouts to the downside. Interestingly enough, we had a breakout yesterday below the 18,250. And now prices have rallied back into that price. And we've now got a really bullish candlestick for the day. And we're maintaining this sort of little mini bullish consolidative period in here. Now, a market that we do potentially could look at selling. There might be an opportunity to start selling crude oil. The biggest problem with these markets, let me change the color, is the lowering volumes in these levels. We have been just kind of ticking high a little bit, perhaps going sideways now, but we're down at significantly lower levels. The volumes of these markets are decreasing quite considerably. There's a decent amount of average range in these markets. The problem is price action is not really doing anything. So a little bit of weakness from a volume perspective, and pretty much across the board as well. So much lighter conditions than what we would like. So the question is, what are we looking to do with these markets? The US indices, the potential for a sell trade still exists, but yesterday's reversal was really quite significant. We might be able to, you see, the Marie Le Pen's party topped the first round of voting. And now what's clear is that all the wheels seem to be put into, I don't know, the center-right wheels of kind of democracy, neoliberalism and globalization and things like that. Those kinds of forces seem to want to take over to kind of limit the potential for that far-right entity moving into power, and those sorts of things are kind of currently in play. And as a result, the euro is kind of having a little bit of a bounce, and we've got kind of a risk on market condition, although there's not that much to be that risk on about. So we can have a look at the German DAX. That trade is still there, but it's looking like a really poor quality opportunity. New Zealand dollar still exists to the downside, the potential downside for gold as well. Same narrative for crude oil. If this market can roll back over, yesterday we were looking really quite bullish. We've got crude oil inventories this afternoon as well, so that might feed into that narrative, but there's not just some selling opportunities to focus on. There's clearly some buying ones as well for the S&P above the all-time highs. Let's see what that actual number is. So this candlestick here, so bottom left-hand corner, the data window, the highs are the 55.24. So for argument's sake, we'll just put this up. So 55.24 is the highs. We're in such a sideways moving pattern. It would suggest quite a long stop loss, but the only trade seems to be to the upside until something significant changes. We can't really pinpoint what that is likely to be. So right now we've got a bit of a bullish angle on the euro. Do we want to buy it? No, not really, because it's really horrible price action. We don't really want to buy any of these markets unless we got up to these highs as far as gold is concerned, but that doesn't look like that's going to happen anytime soon. So really, we don't have a huge amount to really focus our attention on. So good, strong rally yesterday for the equity markets. Dow Jones is in this little sideways moving pattern. Big rally for the yen. It's probably worth looking at the dollar yen continuing to grind higher. Same euro yen, pound yen. So this is there's concern for BOJ intervention, but that has not happened. And that's the most striking move out there, which is weakness across the yen pairs. And as a result, the Nikkei is benefiting accordingly and continuing to rally to new highs as well. So the CAC, this is the DAX scenario. This is the Euro-dollar scenario. It's all tied up to this French politics situation. It's just really poor quality price action. So I want to try to be a little bit careful with that. And on the daily, it's looking really quite positive. Let's see if there's a bit of a rollover around that 18,250. If so, it's worth looking at. So yesterday, it looked like there was a number of decent opportunities come away, and could have argued we did get a bit of a move in the DAX below the 18,250. But as you can see, it didn't really stick very long. We didn't really, at one point, we got close to breaking out to the downside and for it to becoming a really decent sell trade. But kind of ran into that risk on kind of rally, and the DAX turned around as well and looked quite positive. So we're still ultimately really quite bearish. We're certainly open to a risk-off market move. It doesn't seem to be one in the pipeline to any great extent. So if we're not selling, we've got an opportunity to either wait and be patient, or look for that buy trade in markets like the S&P 500. And as you know, that's been a difficult trade for us to. If you're in these markets, you want to try and stay in them as far as the equity markets are concerned. If you're in those AI stocks, you want to stay in them. Buying them up at these high prices is a difficult decision to make. Now, you can all make, if you want to get in with those markets at those levels, the opportunities are clearly there, and they have been all year, and all of last year as well. Okay, so we need to make some amendments to this. We've got mixed market conditions. Right. So mixed market conditions as we await a week of US job numbers. We'll see how that feeds into the overall dynamics. So is there a sell trade in the CAC? No, the DAX. Well, we've pulled back to the 18,250, but now on a daily, it's looking really quite positive and a complete rejection of yesterday's move. The S&P 500 selling below the 54.42 doesn't really represent a decent trade. The euro is a complete sort of choppy mess, really, and it doesn't look like we're going to get any opportunity to the downside from the New Zealand dollar. So, unfortunately, um, So we are looking to keep all options open, not just due to So we are looking to keep all options open as we await ADP and unemployment claims numbers due out later. Just to clarify, US ADP and unemployment claim numbers, which will be due out later today. It's not really a huge amount we can really add to that. With lower volume levels, it's really not a nice backdrop right now. So we can be patient and just wait for those better opportunities to come our way. So that's today's trade plan. It's not great by any extent, but what we don't want to do, we want to try and protect capital in the sense that if we have a sort of, if we increase our frequency with these choppy markets, it doesn't really bode well to do that. And we would certainly advise against it, but we can cherry pick one or two opportunities. We know how choppy these dynamics are, so the markets will ultimately do what they end up doing, and we're trying to identify more so high probability trades just rather than any kind of trade popping up. And it's a form of sort of capital preservation, really. Okay. So look, we will we'll let you guys go there. Thanks very much for joining us. Yesterday we had a bit of a risk-off market dynamic playing out, and then it finished really quite risk-on. So that's what happens during a mixed market, when market conditions are somewhat mixed. Okay, any questions, feel free to let us know. If not, thanks very much for joining us, guys. Appreciate it. We look forward to switching rooms now to our European live trade room. Mentorship room, so you're very welcome to join us there. If you are interested in learning how to trade financial markets, you can access one of our discounted live trading and education bundles on our website. It starts from just $59 per calendar month. For more information, just go to livetrading.com. We'll speak to you soon. Thanks so much, guys. Take care. Bye for now.